Have you ever experienced the Lord working in your life by stripping you of something that you thought it really is the source of your confidence? It is your security blanket, if you like. It is your identity. What do I mean by this? There are things or people in our lives that are so intertwined with our identity that we feel if we ever, ever give those up, we will never be the same. And then when the Lord begins to work in our lives and start taking those away, pulling that security blanket away from us, we feel the hurt. Oh, absolutely, we feel the hurt. But then later we see that he had a higher purpose in what he's doing. There's one thing about God stripping you of your security blanket, whatever it may be. There is one thing you can be absolutely certain about. There is one thing that you must never forget. That when God is stripping you of that security blanket, whatever it may be, whatever is causing you confidence, it is because he wants to build you up in God confidence. That's always the purpose of God. It is because God wants to build you up in having your confidence placed in the right place. It is always because God wants to build you up placing your confidence in the right person. We're going to begin a series of messages from 1 Peter. But it is impossible to talk about either of the epistles of Peter without understanding Peter the man. And Peter the man's life is so rich with systematic and consistent stripping on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ of all the things that causing him to have false confidence. All of the things that were causing him to have pride. All of the things that causing him to have outward courage. All of the things that causing him to have self-adequacy. All of the things that are placing his pride in all the wrong places. Why would Jesus, when he knows that it hurts so much in dealing with Peter, why would he do that? Why would he take away his security blanket in order to build him up and in order to build you up as a man or a woman of God whose confidence is in God alone? Now, Peter's name occurred in all four Gospels. In fact, Peter's name occurred more times in all of the Gospels than any other of the apostles. Peter spoke more often than all of the others put together. In fact, Peter more boldly confessed Christ than all of the other apostles. Peter interrupted, interfered, intruded, and tempted Jesus more than any of the others. And Peter was rebuked more than all of the others. Peter was introduced to the Lord Jesus by his brother Andrew, his younger brother. Andrew is very quiet. You read about Andrew in the scripture. He's a very quiet man. Always does things on the quiet side, very opposite to Peter. But uncharacteristically, one day he ran home and he said, "Peter, Peter, Peter, we have found him. You've got to come and see him. We have found the Messiah." What do you think the type of person Peter is thinking right now when he heard this? He said, "Well, you know, if the Messiah is here, then sooner or later he's going to come to me for advice." Now, you know people like that, don't you? I mean, he's not going to make it without my help. He's not going to make it without my advice. He's not going to make it without my counsel. Surely he's not going to make it without my support. Oh, yes, God can do everything. But normally it takes somebody like me, Peter, to make things happen. And that is why throughout these 3 1/3 of years, Jesus had to strip Peter down of false confidence, false self-confidence. Why? So that he might build him up to be a powerhouse for God. Because nobody can be a powerhouse for God. No one can be effective for God when they have false confidence. Okay, where were Peter's security blankets? Two basic areas. One was the sea and fishing. And the second was outward courage, self-adequacy. And Jesus honed in on those two areas of Peter's life like a laser beam. Episode number one. Peter was fishing all night and caught nothing. Normally when guys are working physical labor like this all night, throwing the nets and drawing in and nothing in, he was coming home in the morning absolutely bone tired. I mean, he was exhausted. But as he comes into shore, he sees Jesus preaching. And so he hangs around to see what he has to say. And after Jesus had preached, he got into one of the boats Peter's family owned in the business. Jonah and Sons, you know, signage there. The freshest fish in the whole world. No exaggeration there. It is fresh fish. And Jesus gets into one of those boats and he says to Peter, "Peter, let's go in the middle of the lake." What is Peter thinking? Oh man, I'm going to oblige him. But a good fisherman wouldn't be caught dead in the middle of the lake during the day. But I go along anyway. When they get to the middle of the lake, what did Jesus say? Say, "Okay, Peter, now throw the nets." Now, wait a minute now. "Jesus, I go along with you on this ride. But for me to throw the nets at high noon, it is stupidity. It's foolishness. I'm embarrassed enough to be with you right here in the middle of the lake in this time of the day. But you want me to look like an idiot trying to fish in the middle of the day? I mean, Lord, you got to understand this. Now, I have a reputation to protect. After all, I have a name to live up to. I have a name to uphold, Lord. Do you understand?" And Peter most likely was tempted. He's saying, "You know, Lord, you might be the Messiah and a great miracle worker and a great teacher, but leave fishing to me. I know fishing." Have you been there? Have you ever been where the very point of your adequacy is challenged by God? Have you been there? Have you been where the very essence of your self-confidence is being challenged by God? And there you are tempted to scoff and to resist, or both. You know the rest of the story, of course. They caught fish. Not just to fill one boat, but two boats. That's what I call ouch number one. Mark it down. What is Jesus doing? He is making sure that when Peter becomes a powerhouse for God, self-boasting has to come under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Episode number two. Peter was a born leader. There's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing. And I'm convinced Jesus had no problem with that. He just wanted to make sure that Peter would not become a problem leader. Peter had pride problems. Peter had self-boasting problems. Peter had self-adequacy problems. Peter had false confidence problems. And most of them are related to the area of the sea and the water and fishing. Not just any sea, the Galilee. That's his second home. Half of his day spent there. In fact, most of his day spent there. And that's where Jesus encounters him again and again and again. And so they go with the disciples in the boat. Most likely was one of Peter's family fishing boats, so it was Peter's second home. And they go along in the very place of confidence of Peter. And no sooner that they were in the water, and one of those well-known tremendous storm takes off. It goes into a rage. And they all panicked. Guess who panicked the most? You guessed Peter, then you guessed right. What's going on through Peter's mind? Man, I thought I know this lake like the back of my hand. I thought I was an expert in this area. I thought I knew how to take care of myself. I have never panicked before. I've always had confidence. What is happening to me? I always know what to do. But I don't know what to do at this point. That's ouch number two. And Jesus, with all the authority of the Creator God, tells the storm to hush, and the storm obeyed. Episode number three. Right in the very field of Peter's expertise and adequacies. Right in the very area of self-confidence. Right in the middle of another storm, right in the Galilee. And what happens? Now, by now, Peter has begun to exchange his false self-confidence with confidence in the Lord Jesus. Now, the key word here is began. It's very important. That's the key word. He just began. This time, Jesus was not in the boat with them. Jesus came walking on water. And most of them did not know if he was a ghost or it was Jesus. Peter, who began, he graduated from elementary school and thought, man, isn't that great? Now I can handle this baby, no problem. And he says, now Jesus, if this is you, just tell me to come and I'll walk on the water. Hey, confidence in Jesus Christ now. You see, he has graduated from elementary school. He has made it somewhere. And Jesus says, okay, Peter, get up. And Peter gets up and start walking on the water. And after a few steps, and just before he could say, hey, boys, look at me, I'm walking on water, he drowns. And he yells instead, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. Peter's dependency on his own self-sufficiency, that is lesson number three. Ouch, number three. He's learning how to trust the hard way. You know, I want to stop here for a moment. Please listen carefully. I want to stop here for a moment and tell you something that I consider to be of uttermost importance. If you think that God enjoys watching you going through spiritual growing pains, you do not know the character of God. That's a bold statement, but I know it's true. If a human father or mother can hurt on the inside as they watch their toddler learning to walk, and then when you fall and they feel that pain and they feel that hurt, how much more your heavenly Father feels your pain? But let me tell you something. He wants you to grow up. He knows that you have to grow up. You cannot be a spiritual toddler for the rest of your spiritual life. The problem is there are so many people in the church who live as spiritual toddlers because they don't want to walk, they don't want to hurt, they don't want to suffer. So they sit like a baby in a high chair and let somebody else feed them, somebody else take care of them, somebody else minister to them, somebody else do the work. The churches are full of 200-pound babies across this land. Episode number four. The night of the crucifixion, Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was coming. And Peter wasn't listening. He was thinking while the Lord was talking. And he said, Lord, I told you, I'll take care of you. But Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, before dawn, which is only a few hours from now, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. That probably hurt Peter deeply. Let me speak to you, every one of you who are Peters and Peteresses out there. Listen to me, please. God is not looking for, nor is he impressed with your adequacy. God is not looking for, nor he is impressed with your false confidence. God is not looking for or impressed by your ability to boast. God is looking for your willingness to be stripped of all that is natural so that he can build you up with the supernatural. That's what God is longing for. And sure enough, before the cock crowed, Peter turned into chicken. And he denied Jesus three times. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, and Jesus turned and looked at Peter. I can tell you one thing about that look. Peter has never forgotten it. I tell you something else about it. It was not, Peter, I told you so.
No,
that's not the way Jesus works. That's not the way Jesus works. It was the look that says, Peter, I still love you. And I'm ready to forgive you. Peter, I understand. It was that look. The reason I know that is because when the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the death, he had to have encounter one-on-one with Peter. And as if to say to Peter, Peter, this stripping you of all that stuff, not in order that I may hold it against you, no, but that I may forgive you. I pulled down all these false confidences, all these false adequacies, not to tear you down, but to build you up. Peter, I did these things because I love you, and I want you to do great things for me. Peter, you have one option. Don't allow this to pull you down. Don't let self-pity and sorrow pull you back, but move forward in my power. Beloved friends, I want to tell you, you can focus on what you have lost and stay where you are, or you can strain forward toward the goal and look forward to the gain that only God can give you. Then and finally, that encounter on the beach, the well-known encounter between the Lord Jesus and Peter. Jesus looks at Peter and he says, now, Peter, do you really love me now to the point of dying for me? For that's what agape means. Peter, do you agape me? Peter, who is no longer Mr. Adequate. Peter, who is no longer Mr. Confident. He says, Lord, I love you with human affection. That's what phileo means. Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, I phileo you, Lord. And before Peter was stripped of his false confidence, he would have said, of course I love you. You know I love you, Lord. You can count on me. Oh, but not now. Not now. That was the past, Peter. Now the rebuilt, remodeled, reconstructed Peter had a different response. Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you agape me? Peter says, Lord, I phileo you. And then the third time, one for each of those denials. He said, Peter, do you even love me with friendship love? It's so easy for us to tell the Lord how much we love him. But when the rubber meets the road, can you really say, Lord, I love you? I'm willing to give up everything, including life. Be careful. Do you even love me with friendship love? The reconstructed but oh, much wiser Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. I can't fool you anymore. I can fool everybody in the church, but I can't fool you, Lord. But that's not the end of the story. By the time we get into the day of Pentecost, Peter can stand with real courage, real confidence, not in himself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, with real adequacy, not in himself, but in Jesus. With the power of the Holy Spirit, can he stand there on the day of Pentecost and says, you have killed the Lord of life, knowing very well that he could lose his life that moment. And 3,000 people give their life to the Lord at the end of that famous sermon. Beloved friends, I want to ask you, because that is the most important question that the Lord, I believe, posing to everyone who says they love him. The question that the Lord is posing to us, are you willing to allow him to strip you of your self-pride, self-sufficiency, and your self-adequacy? Do you truly yearn to be rebuilt and reconstructed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, no matter how painful it might feel at the beginning, are you willing to cease clinging into your security blanket or blankets, whatever it or they are? Whether it is reputation, whether it is education, whether it's wealth, whether it's acceptance, whatever it may be, are you willing instead to say, Lord, I know one thing, that when you strip me down, you will build me up in your strength, in your power, supernaturally.
Thanks for listening to this message by Dr. Michael Youssef, Bible teacher on Leading the Way. The best way to order products or learn more about Dr. Youssef and the International Ministry of Leading the Way is through the web. Make it a point to go to leadingtheway.org and click around. You can also speak to a ministry representative when you call 866-626-4356. May God bless you as you walk with Him each day.